From the Art Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. And the first fascinating soul we've got here is historian Bob Crowley, also president of the Apex Arts Council, who's going to catch us up with all things of meaning for this period in time. And also, I'm going to continue my interview with Rocco and his experiences with the big band leaders of their day.
Claudio, it's always a pleasure to be on with you and Bob.
Absolutely. And I'm going to let Bob take the helm here and go ahead and have your spiel.
Oh, boy, I get to do my spiel now. Let's see here what we have. Let's talk about what day's today. And today is actually some interesting days for the three of us here. First off, we all know Claudio.
Today is some interesting days. I like the way you played that. Go ahead, explain,
yes,
Lucy.
Let me explain. Yeah. We all know Claudio's a chef. Well, I'll also give you a luncheon recommendation. Today is National Hoagie Day, so go out and have a hoagie. You know, they supposedly originated in Philadelphia, but we'll see.
You're forgetting something rather cultural that today is.
I will probably get to that. Then we also have today National Teacher Appreciation Day. And Rocco, you were a teacher, right?
I was. I was in the classroom for many, many, many years. Over 40 years.
I don't think you get to say I was. I think you're always one.
Exactly. And you know, we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to come back to something for my friend Claudio. Today is National Cartoonist Day. Because you were a cartoonist, right?
Well, actually, my own paintings are very cartoon-influenced, and I was a big comic book fan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you drew a couple of comic or tried.
Yes, I actually started out by drawing comics in South Africa.
Yeah, and it was picked today was picked for that because in 1895, a fellow by the name of Rich Outcult published the first cartoon in the newspaper, one of the first newspaper cartoons ever done.
Give us that name again. Outcult.
Outcault. Outcult.
Okay, Outcult.
And Richard's cartoon was a strip called Hogan's Alley, and the featured character was a very young boy in a yellow shift. Just a one-piece garment, and he would paint things on the various fences around the neighborhood, and they've got to be very political. And eventually, the yellow kid, as he became called, became one of the political voices in New York. And from that, because he was usually a little bit nasty, we get the term yellow journalism. So that's
amazing. And you're talking about something that goes back to the late 1800s,
1895,
right?
So yeah. That's well over 100 years ago, 120 years ago. So we've got that. And, of course, the big cultural event for the day, Cinco de Mayo. Yay!
That's right.
Yeah, right. And it ain't a Mexican holiday.
Now, that's – yeah. Go ahead and break that bubble, will you?
Well, the interesting bit about it is that Cinco de Mayo was based on the Battle of Puebla in Mexico, which took place in 1862. And this was when the Mexican army defeated the French and pushed out the first French-Mexican Empire. The president of Mexico decided that they would proclaim that as an observance to rally the people to keep the French out. Well, it didn't work. The French came back in, and it was another 10 years or so before they got rid of them. But since it was 1862, we all know what was happening in the United States. Well, the Mexican population in the southwest United States also picked it up, and it became a bit of an observance, or an excuse to have some fun during the American Civil War. And then it kind of fell out of favor until about 1950, when the Mexican beer companies decided, hey, we can have our own day just like St. Patrick's Day and get everybody drunk. Mm-hmm. So now it's just an American excuse to drink beer. It's observed in Mexico, but only for two reasons. First, because the Battle of Puebla is famous. And second, it allows them to milk more dollars out of the gringo turistas.
Of course. Somebody asked me if it was comparable to their 4th of July, but I didn't think so.
No, the Mexican Independence Day is much later in the year.
Right.
So that's
well, thank you for that scoop and rethinking history.
Yeah, well, we just got to get it right here. And, of course, we have a bunch of cultural stuff as well. We had Peak Fest this week in Apex. We had a heck of a block party. We had dancing in the street. We had 7,000 people walking up and down the street. We had all sorts of stuff there. So the Apex Arts Council was there. We had all kinds of things happening with us. So mark it on your calendar for next year. This will be May 7th.
So this has become a big expose for the Apex Arts Council,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had our
I was there with you last year.
Yeah, you were there with us last year. I know you couldn't make it this year, but
yeah.
We had our ballet company this year, and they were out there dancing in the street
all
for
right.
everybody. So it was neat. And we have a bunch of stuff coming up. Actually, the next thing coming up is our is a dance event, the Spring Dance Finale on the 12th of June at the Halley Cultural Arts Center in downtown Apex. And we'll follow that 2 days later on the 14th, which is Flag Day, with the Red, White, and Brew art show at the place called Brewprint, which is a local beer distillery.
So what was the recent Red, White, and Brew thing all
no,
about?
You're talking about the one coming up.
Yeah,
this is the one coming up. So that's what's going on there. And, of course, lastly, the New Hope Valley Railway will be running this Saturday, and that is National Train Day. So come on and celebrate the train. And if you're a mother, we'll have chocolate roses, and we're going to give every mother, since it's Mother's Day the next day, a chocolate rose from the railroad just for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now I've got a piece of news that I know is near and dear to your heart. Apparently, some people have been doing some testing out in Bradford County, Pennsylvania. And so far, this is not 100% statistically significant, but in three homes, the wells for three homes, they have detected traces of the drilling fluids used for fracking in the home water supply. And that, you know, needs some more investigation, but sure as heck, it's a pointer to what's going on.
And the reason he says it's dear to my heart is because I know anything you put into Mother Earth that is not good for nature is going to come back up, and I guess the people... we're going to be the sponge that laps up all these poisons that they're injecting into the earth. We should never allow this nonsense. It's pathetic to me.
I agree with you completely. And if you're interested in that, he doesn't promote himself well. He really doesn't. Well, yeah.
Who are you talking about?
You.
Me?
You. Yes, you. Go to YouTube, folks. I know every one of you is on YouTube in some way. And Claudio has his own channel. You'll find recordings of some of his poems that we have illustrated with video. And we're working on more. So go to that and take a look. He's got some really neat stuff out there. And if you like it, go to Patreon. Maybe you can help support it.
All you got to do is type in Claudio Nidbrock or go to my website on the homepage. You'll find a link to my YouTube channel there. That's the easiest way to do it.
Absolutely.
ClaudioArts.com. And thank you, Bob,
yep.
for mentioning that. And I'm going to sort of ease on over here to Rocco because what we're going to do today is I'm going to continue my interview with Rocco and his radio career going back to the early days of the big band era and so forth. He's met just about every famous soul that lived during that era that was famous. So
I've
I want to continue
a lot
that.
Of people.
No doubt. Shall we go to a little spell of music and then come back with a little refresher and get on Rocco about his life?
Community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is 103.5 FM WCOM.
Thank you.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're listening to WCOM, broadcasting from the Arts Center in Carrboro. Thanks for listening. Now more of Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
And remember to come and see us on Thursday night at the Hickory Tavern, where we're going to do the big promo for WCOM, doing a little fundraiser to help us stay afloat here. Just want to remind, I will in fact be there this time. I'm normally not at these engagements, but I've decided I'm going to be a good boy and try to show up at more of them. Well, and I know Rocco's going to be there, Ernie Hood, and so on.
Ernie will be there. Claudio, this is a big deal for the station. It really is.
It went really well last year, so I'm hoping it's even better this year. I can't wait to meet some folks.
Art Menius has worked very hard.
I know.
And he's put this all together, and it's going to be a big deal.
And you and Ernie have done one heck of a job on getting... you explain that.
Well, we've had a fundraising drive, and Ernie and myself, Ernie Hood, who has a show on Mondays,
Radio and Vivo,
a terrific show, and you can call in, and he has fascinating guests that are in the world of science.
Your link to the Triangle Science Community, I think, is how it goes, yeah.
But anyway, we need your support. We want you to come out and support the station and make a donation. All of the... money that comes in for food at the Hickory Tavern, 10% of it's going to be donated to WCOM.
So come and hug a host.
Exactly.
Speaking of hosts, we just had a WCOM host walk in, Brian Parran. You'll know him from Jazz Before Parker. Hello and welcome.
Hi. Thanks for letting me come on here. I always enjoy listening.
Thank you. I think Rocco has a question for all of us.
I do. What did you think of that last piece of music that I
played?
Who
did you say that was by again?
That was by Frank Capp and his orchestra. And most people are not that familiar with Frank Capp. And he was playing a Neil Hefti song. And most folks are unfamiliar with Neil Hefti.
Got to do a little research at first. I know the name more than I know the music.
But if you notice...
But it was amazing music.
Oh, they're first class. That was recorded in the 1980s. And Frank Capp and Neil Hefti were young fellas in the big band era, in the 40s and late 30s, just getting started in the business.
So they were probably in the 20s and 30s, right?
They were in their 20s and 30s. Frank Capp was a drummer, and then he later became an arranger and a big band leader. But he was working with some heavyweight people in the world of jazz music. He was an arranger for Count Basie and his big band.
Okay.
Neil Hefti also was a arranger for Count Basie's band in the 50s, and then later went on with his own band, which was one of the best big bands put together on the West Coast or anywhere in the country in the late 50s, and then went over with Frank Sinatra and was backing up Frank Sinatra with his music in the 60s.
Are you folks familiar with him at all, Bob?
I've heard of him. I know about him. And you say that most people are not familiar. Most people aren't familiar with anything that happened more than 2 weeks ago.
Well, Neil Hefti was a trumpet player, and he was in a number of big bands like Tommy Dorsey and Artie Shaw in the 40s. And he was in the Marine Corps and was stationed here in North Carolina at Cherry Point. And then when he got out of the Marines, went out to the West Coast and became a ranger, songwriter, and many, many big band popular songs were written by Neil Hefti.
Gotcha.
And he was first class. And he then went on into movies, the Batman theme, commercials on television. Very talented individual.
Wasn't very big on lyrics, though.
He wasn't, but
because Batman doesn't.
I know he was a great songwriter.
So what does Jazz Before Parker have to say about this?
Well, as I always get Neil Hefti confused with somebody named Nat Hycon, who was the creator of the old Sergeant Bilko show.
That's right. He was a producer.
I guess because
of that
the initials NH, Nat Hycon and Neil Hefti.
Well, Frank Capp, who performed the Neil Hefti song that we played called "Midnight Blue."
Mm-hmm.
Frank Capp, I believe, is still alive and was recording in Las Vegas and on the West Coast, L.A., at, I believe, the Capitol Studios. And he's was just first class with his band.
Incredible.
Did you ever meet him?
I think we're getting a little feedback from his mic. Can we tone that down a little?
Yeah. Brian, why don't you turn that mic to the right. There we go. Yeah. Or the left.
You can speak across it. Yeah. For some reason, it was feeding back. Yeah, we got it.
I have another piece of music here, and then I'd like to go further back.
But I want to hear about some of these folks that you've met. Now, have you? Do you have any association with the folks that just
played? I've never met these two fellows, but gotcha. I want you to hear Neil Hefti's band.
Okay.
Because it was considered maybe the strongest big band in the country, along with Count Basie and Duke Ellington, in the late 50s. And keep in mind this recording by Neil Hefti and his Jazz Pops band. It's called Coral Reef.
Huh.
He wrote it, and his band performed it.
It was pre-Jimmy Buffett, let me tell you.
It was pre-Jimmy Buffett. And I can tell you, if you looked at the 20 musicians that were in this band playing for Neil Hefti, every one of them became an all-star or was already an all-star
big
player.
Wins.
Oh, they were just, well, you have to hear this band.
Well, you folks can plan on the rest of the hour being all about Rocco's life and his career in the music world. And we may subject you to another moment with Louis Armstrong, because we're trying to get a signature recording to open up the speakeasy with. So we may try that one more time a little later in the show.
Neil Hefti, Coral Reef. Today's best music and radio programming in Chapel Hill and Carrboro can be heard at 103.5 FM WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And I want to give Brian a chance to make a little comment that you had about the recording industry.
Well, that was recorded in 1960, I believe.
1960, Brian.
And even though that's 55 years ago, the technology was so superior to what the kind of music that I play, which is mostly from the 20s and into the 30s. And in some cases, the music that was recorded in those days was recorded into like a megaphone.
Mm.
And then they would take that and burn it into a wax disc.
Right, I'm familiar with those too.
And the quality of the recordings doesn't quite match up to the level of
you have to appreciate the history more so than the sound.
In some cases, yes. Yeah. But the music was always good.
Oh, I know that.
You know, Brian, in 20 years, in 1940, 1935, what you're talking about is so true. But in that 20-year period, from, say, 1940 to 1960, it was just elevated. And in New York and in California, they had studios that were the most sophisticated recording studios in the world. And you could hear that.
It went from 78s in 1940 to, by the time 1960 arrived, we were firmly into the LP era, and 78s were almost unavailable, although they were still around.
They were still around, but on the way, really on the way out. And 45s were on the way out also.
We had a turntable that played 78s up until about 1972, and then that got replaced. But the turntable was bought about 1964, and even back in 1964, it had a setting for the 78s.
And I've heard it said that the worst of our current technologies was better than what the Beatles recorded with. So that should tell you something.
This next recording that I have is Benny Goodman. This is a classic recording. This is going back to 1938.
And then you're
going
to cue us in as to how you met some of these folks, right?
Well, I never met Benny Goodman, but I saw him in person.
Okay, gotcha.
And Benny Goodman was the king of swing, and this kind of established him as America's most popular band leader.
No doubt.
By 1938. And there were many, many other bands, and they were terrific bands. Bands that Brian would play.
He was making the catchiest sound of the day.
He became very, very popular. Mm-hmm. And in Carnegie Hall, this concert was recorded, and it's a classic. It really is.
Is that by chance where you saw him? Carnegie Hall?
No, I saw him at the World's Fair.
Ah, okay.
In, I believe, 1964 in New York. And he had a great band then. I'll let you hear that band after we hear this piece from the Carnegie Hall concert. And in this band were some legendary performers. Gene Krupa was his drummer. Harry James was one of his trumpet players. Another fellow named Ziggy Elman was in the band, another terrific trumpet player. Bunny Berrigan was in the band.
Man.
Some people consider him maybe the best jazz trumpet player ever.
Bunny Berrigan.
And to anyone listening, Rocco's pulling these names out of his head. He doesn't have a piece of paper in front of him.
Lionel Hampton was in the band, and Teddy Wilson, a great jazz piano player.
The best.
So this was a terrific band, and this is the way he opened the show. And it's a song called Don't Be That Way. And, you have to hear this. And this was recorded in 1938.
Just want to mention that the show is brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Thank you. You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carborough.
I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
That was amazing. Oh, God, I love that. Are you kidding? The reason I bust in on your show every once in a while is just to hang out and listen to the tunes.
Well, you know, that's Brian, I know you're very familiar with that piece of music, and that's why they called Benny Goodman the King of Swing. And you could just...
Oh, you can feel it.
You can feel it. And he had a bunch of all-stars in that band. And before we go back to Louis Armstrong,
okay,
I'm going to play another Benny Goodman song. This one from Benny Goodman's band in the 1960s.
Now, tie in any personal experiences, because that's what the folks want to hear.
Well, I saw this band in person, and they were on a tour of Russia. And this was before they left the United States and performed in Russia. There's some albums out there. I've never actually seen a CD of the Benny Goodman tour of Russia. I don't know why it was never put on a CD, but I have the albums. But this was maybe Benny Goodman's strongest big band.
Wow.
It was larger than that band, and they could just swing, and they were tight, and they were as good as a band could be in the 60s.
No doubt.
So,
and where'd you see them?
At the World's Fair, 1964.
New
either
York
64
City.
Or 65. Benny Goodman, 1960s. Thank you.
science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
Brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham and the Apex Arts Council. I figure I better get those plugs in while I'm on the air. And don't forget, we're going to have a big WCOM celebration and fundraiser at the Hickory Tavern. This will be on Thursday night from, is it 5 to 10?
Five to seven, I think the activity is going to happen when Art Minius raffles off gift certificates
and prizes.
And
we got over 400 of those things, so there's plenty to go around. Do come and join us. And I'm going to go over to Brian here. He's got a very illuminating little commentary about, I think, Louis Armstrong and Russia. Go ahead.
Louis Armstrong and Benny Goodman were the biggest band members that we sent over behind the Iron Curtain as goodwill ambassadors, and they made great impressions on the East Europeans and the Russians, and may have had something to do with eventual decline and fall of the Iron Curtain.
Maybe they loosened things up a bit, huh?
recently online, there's been discovered some footage of Louis Armstrong in Berlin in, I think, 1965, and if you seek it out, it's got some wonderful footage, and it's all really good music, actually recorded in Berlin.
Wow, I'd love to hear that.
It's on YouTube.
I did have a chance
to
meet Louis Armstrong in either 1963 or 4.
And I remember you telling me you thought he was a real gentleman.
Oh, he was just a terrific man. And was just
he just looks like he would be.
Kind, trying to help everybody that was helping him with his show. He came in and had five or six musicians, and they were all first classes. Billy Kyle, I think, was the piano player. And Tyree Glenn was the trombone player. And
those guys are in that video from 1965, Tyree Glenn and Billy Kyle.
Danny Barcelona was the drummer, I remember. And they just had a sound that was just so good.
The only kind of it in the world at the time.
I have two pieces of music here, Claudio, again by Louis Armstrong. One was a number one hit for him on the Billboard charts. The other one, a lot of people think another artist first made it popular. And this other fellow, I'm not going to tell you what the song is. You're going to have to hear it. But Louis had it before but didn't have a hit with it.
But before we go there, I want to try a little opening jingle one more time, and I apologize to the audience having to listen to this all over again, but I want to make sure that Bob has a good thing to edit when he edits the opening cut for the Speakeasy.
So you'd like to go to the opening?
Back to Wonderful, Wonderful World, yeah. And you and I are going to go ahead and do that one again.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Radio at its best.
And now back to Satchmo.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hello, Dolly, this is Louis. Dolly, it's so nice to have you back where you belong. You looking swell, Dolly, I can tell, Dolly. You still blowing, you still growing, you still going strong. I feel the room swaying, but the band's playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas, find an empty lap, fellas. Darling, never go away again.
You are listening to WCOMLP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community-powered 100-watt wonder.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill, on Blueberry Hill, when I found you. The moon stood still on Blueberry Hill and lingered until my dreams came true. Part of me still, for you are my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
I found my thrill.
Come climb the hill with me, baby,
on Blueberry Hill.
We'll see what we shall see
on Blueberry Hill.
I'll bring my horn with me. I'll be with you where berries are blue.
The moon stood still.
Each afternoon we'll come
on Blueberry Hill.
Higher than the moon we'll go
and linger until
a wedding in June we'll go.
My dreams came true.
Papa thought it was buzz, but didn't it? The wind and the willow play.
Do you really love me?
Love's sweet melody. But all of those vows we made with her were never to be. Though we are part of the you're part of me, baby, still. For you are my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
We're glad you found us. We're WCOM, Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
And once again, brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. We want to draw some commentary here about the music just played. I had no idea that Louis Armstrong sang that song before Fats Domino.
Well, Fats Domino had a number one hit with it in the late 50s, but Louis recorded it earlier. You could hear the background singers. It was the early 50s, but I think a lot of people don't realize. Now, this is something that is pretty factual. Fats Domino was selling more records than anybody in the world in the late 50s other than Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra.
Wow, why?
He was that popular.
Man.
And his recordings for a year were higher than anybody else's except Sinatra and Elvis Presley. It's amazing. But, of course, Louis Armstrong really is not known for Blueberry Hill.
No, not at all.
And, Bob, you were saying the Hello, Dolly song.
Yep.
Carol Channing, the Broadway star, starred in Hello, Dolly and had a big recording with it also.
Right. And
before
Louis.
And, of course, she did a whole bunch of other Broadway. Now, I grew up essentially in and around the theater district in New York, and I knew Carol. I knew a whole bunch of them. I could spend about an hour dropping names here of people
you'd
recognize.
We'll do that sometime.
But, yeah, she was quite a lady. She was a little goofy, but she was a neat lady to hang out with. So.
Now, am I right in assuming that Louis actually made the song even more famous than she did?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
That was a number one Billboard hit back in the early 60s.
So he kind of took it from her and gave it even more greater life, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, he had his own name in there. This is Louis, darling.
I mean, right.
Also, Hello, Dolly ran on Broadway for 10 years.
Yep.
And really?
I think I saw Hello, Dolly with Ginger Rogers in the starring role.
My goodness.
It went from Carol Channing to I'm not sure who, and then Pearl Bailey had it for a while. And then it was Ginger Rogers, and then it was, I can't think of her name, but she was Mame.
Who was Mame?
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean, but
Angela Lansbury, I think, played Dolly.
Lansbury was also a buddy of mine. I used to like to drink. She liked cold beer, and we had a lot of fun.
Bob, what were these folks like? What were these ladies like?
They were normal people, and they had their own peccadillos and so on, but a lot of them, the ones I knew, were not the diva types. The divas I avoided. There were a bunch of them around, too, and you just kind of stay away from them. But you mentioned seeing Hello, Dolly. I remember seeing it, not the first year it ran, but the second year, sitting in a chair in the wings.
Who played Dolly?
Channing was still doing it.
She was still doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
she got me in.
There are so many Broadway plays that have produced countless hits in this country, and many of them made into movies.
Brian, you had something to point out about
Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly,
done by Louis Armstrong. It dislodged the Beatles from having three consecutive number one hits in 1964.
Wow.
And at that time, Louis became the oldest artist ever to attain the number one spot in the Billboard music charts.
Incredible. I guess we don't know what those songs are. I was just curious.
Will be I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, and probably Please, Please Me.
I'll be darned.
It's the right era.
Not bad.
Yeah, those are some good songs.
Some great stuff.
There was great music back in those days.
No doubt.
Even though the recording process isn't what it is today, the music was better.
Well, you know, I
totally agree.
The songwriters were so good.
Yeah.
People like Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hart and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Andrew Lloyd Webber. There's a string of them that write songs for Broadway. And then just the pop music writers.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. Yeah. And the songs are very memorable. And if you listen to my show on Saturday morning, almost everything I'm going to play, you're going to be familiar with. And you know the tune. You've hummed it. You've heard it. You like it.
Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. I know. I love hanging out here.
It always makes me wonder, though, if we had had really good sound recording equipment back in the early part of the 20th century, what we would have now. I mean, like the great Isham Jones or somebody.
Brian, give us the time for your show.
My show, Jazz Before Parker, airs on WCOM at 6 p.m. every Sunday evening. And you're all welcome to listen.
We'd love it if you do.
Bob, back in the early part of the 20th century, the rock stars were people like Sousa. John Philip Sousa, Victor Herbert.
Yep.
They would come around and tour the country with their bands. And
Billy Murray.
There's just a string of them,
too. There are names that people nowadays would never remember, but they were great singers.
Well, Claudio, how about if we close out this edition of The Speakeasy? We only have about 5 or 6 minutes.
Well, actually, we've only got about 2 minutes left because the gang is waiting outside.
They're out there ready to come in.
And we usually leave at 5 till.
And I have one of the anthem songs of the big band era.
You got a short one?
It's short. It's about 3 minutes or so.
Go ahead, and let's have it, because that's our exit.
Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller. Fantastic. In the Mood.
Oh, that's a famous... And coming up next is Say Yes to the Chef. This is Claudio of the Speakeasy on behalf of Rocco, Bob, and Brian. Until next time, cheers.